Well, we are very blessed today because friend of the house, Pastor Gary Swenson, he's been on a journey with Vineyard long before even Anita and I were here, probably when the days of Noah, I think. Gary's been connected with our church and come pretty much every year, I think, to Stanthorpe to preach and share the word with us. So we're really blessed and encouraged. Gary's a minister of ministers. He's our state ministries director, I suppose. That's still a, there's about 100 titles that you carry, but that's pretty much the main one where he's pastoring the pastors of our movement across Queensland and even, I guess, Northern Territory. You go there too, because we're both looking after both as our state executive. And many other accolades and things, exciting things like Safer Churches, and that's your favourite one, and looking after child protection. But Gary is a legend in our movement and such a blessing to Anita and I as well, great mentor for us. So would we stand this morning, honour the word of God and honour the man of God who's coming in. Give Pastor Gary a big welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, thank you very much, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. As always, great to be here in Vineyard. By the way, and I nearly always ask this question, how many of you have never seen me before? Give me a wave. Wow, there are a lot of you. That's incredible. That means there's new people in the church. Or you were not here in all the times that I've been here. It's great to be here. I did have a little bit of temperature adjustment to do yesterday. Because what exacerbated was that was I took a couple of weeks holiday and I went to Phuket in Thailand. And so for 2 weeks it was really 30, 31 degrees and 95% humidity. Yeah. And I came back a week ago and then you turn on yesterday. I'm certainly glad that you changed. Today's a beautiful day. I don't mind the cold. Just keep the wind away.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. 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 Well, great to be with you. You know, whenever we step into a space like this on a Sunday and we open up the scriptures, we expect, understandably, that a conversation that is predominantly about God. Because when you think about the Bible, you think about the story of God, obviously. But the reality is that even though God is the theme throughout the scriptures, the Bible is actually the story of us. Yeah. It's the story of humanity's relationship to God. One of the amazing things about scriptures is that there's incredible insights into who God is, but it actually has far more insights into who we are. And as Peter read communion this morning about, it's important to understand and have a true essence of understanding of ourselves. We who are called humans. There's no other species on the planet. There's something like 8.7 million different species on the planet. There's no other species like human beings. And yet somehow as human beings, we are distinguished from even the most extraordinary of other species on the planet, and we're the singular species, amongst other things, that, as far as we know, has what we would call consciousness. Now, animals have different levels of consciousness and responses, obviously, mainly driven by immediate need or stimulus or whatever, but we have the ability to reason. Certainly, as far as we know, we're the only ones that can really play video games. And I think part of the challenge for us as human beings is trying to understand who we are in the context of everything else that has been created and in the context of a broken world. And you know our world is broken.
Yeah.
One of the challenges, I think, that one of the things that challenges us as humans sometimes is it feels as if like we're the only species that doesn't really know how to be the species. Every other species just kind of does their species naturally. Dogs, for example, you know, if they go into the park, they don't wake up in the morning thinking,
Oh, I wonder who'll be at the park today. Oh, sure, well, gee, I hope they like me. I mean, dogs just dog. They just do what they do, you know. Kangaroos just kangaroo and whatever. But humans are always in a crisis.
Funny, eh?
What does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be you? What does it mean to be me? And the way that plays out in reality in life very often for us is that, as I say, we seem to be the only species that really is in a constant identity crisis. By the way, and I'll read the definition, identity crisis is a period of uncertainty and confusion that occurs when someone's sense of self becomes unstable. And it would not be one of us in this room that's not had at least a moment of that on the journey. When our sense of self and question who we are, this period of uncertainty, confusion, our sense of self becomes somewhat unstable. There's something about us human beings, we're perplexed about something even as simple as who am I? And not only do we sometimes not seem to know who we are, we don't even know kind of why we're here. And why do we even need to have an identity? And identity's become such a common bit of a buzzword. We've even had over recent years identity politics and all the stuff that goes with that. And but why do we have a crisis about something that should be inherently obvious? And yet it's one of the markers of our story, of our journey. And we have a lot of language around it, language like insignificance and insecurity. Not that anybody, and you'd be surprised, I know, because this doesn't affect people who live in Stanthorpe, but there are people that live in many other places. We're all affected by these things. I mean, why would you feel insignificant? And again, I'm sure there are moments where all of us have felt that. Why would you feel that except that you're really not sure who you are? We have lots of language around it, like insignificance and insecurity and self-image and a whole lot of other things. And that language really, I think, sometimes unwraps the fact that we're not sure maybe who we are and why we're here. And it's odd that sometimes the very things that we think give us sense of identity are the things that oftentimes betray us. Have you ever convinced yourself that if I can just succeed, I'll know who I am? If I can accomplish something significant, then I will feel significant. If I can be loved by others, then I will feel worthy of love. If I can somehow create a life that is admirable or noble or inspirational, and then I will not have self-doubt, and then I will know who I am. And yet we don't. And of course, in the day and age in which we live, we have this dynamic called celebrity. I mean, it's kind of always been there, but with social media and everything that we have these days, it's more than ever. It's when we look at others and think, if I could just be like them, if I could have that, if I could be like that, then I'll feel something, I'll feel like I'm something. It's funny how we're never satisfied with who we are. It was an interesting little story. I was in Thailand in Phuket last year for a missions conference, and on the way over between Singapore and Phuket, I was sitting on the plane and beside an Aussie guy. We got talking. Not a Christian, but a really nice guy, worked very high level in the hospitality industry all around the world, in Dubai and London and everywhere, and just retired, he's about 60. His wife was with him across the other side of the aisle, sitting with business owners that the business she worked for. And we got chatting and formed quite a friendship, and just in that brief time, and they said, hey, if you're, because I was taking a few days off after the conference, said, hey, if you're not doing anything, we'd love to come and take you for dinner. So they came, picked me up for dinner. And at dinner that night, we're talking. And his wife is Thai, and been married for some years, and lovely lady, highly educated, speaks four languages, runs a very significant business. And we, I don't know how it came up, we were just talking about this issue of people not being happy with who they are. And it's interesting, and some of you know this, you go to countries, and she was saying this, like Thailand, where people are darker skinned than many of us, white Caucasian Aussies, and they're always trying to buy products that lighten their skin. As a kid growing up in Australia for a long time, you always wanted to get a tan because you didn't want to be white. I mean, how bizarre is that? See, I'd like to be like these guys. But isn't it funny? You have people with dark skin are often trying to be lighter, and people who've got light skin want to be darker, and we're just not satisfied with, and we're always looking to somebody else or something else, and we've all, you know, celebrity, or we've all had maybe actors or movie stars or musicians that we've thought, oh man, I remember when I was young, about, I don't know, getting 20 or something, and there was a TV series called Starsky and Hutch. So do you remember that? No, that was really cool. I loved it. And they had a great car, drove a great car. And this red Ford Sports with a white stripe on it. But they were cool. Now, Starsky had dark curly hair and whatever, so I couldn't look like him. But Hutch had long, I had hair then. Hutch, David Soul, had longer blonde hair and I had longer hair. And I bought the leather coat and everything that looked like. It's funny, huh? We're always aspiring to, and we've got young people these days, you know, got girls who dress up like Tay-Tay, and you know who that is. Anyway, and if you don't, nothing lost. Sorry if you're a fan. Sorry. But sometimes we feel like if I could be like them, if I could accomplish what they accomplished, maybe then I'll feel I have value and worth. And what we discover so often is that the people who already have the things that you think will fulfill your identity have an identity crisis. They have an identity crisis. And so in our human journey, this dynamic often too has a direct impact on our belief about God. Belief system. So I want to take a few moments this morning to go back to the beginning. About the story of us, the beginning of the story of us. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and you're all familiar with it. There's one verse that speaks to the beginning of us, and it says, in the beginning, flows on, verse 7, 27 says, so God created humans in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And this is the first beautiful imagery, really, of the beginning of us, this unique species that we come to know as humans. We were created in God's image. And it's as if then God's sitting back, and it's as if he sat back and looked at all of creation, and the days have passed by, and the universe has come into existence, and the galaxies and the solar systems and the novas and the supernovas and the black holes and deep space and all the dynamics of the universe he's created, and from microbes to atoms and particles, and it's all there. And then it's like, it's almost as if God's looking at all his work and he goes, oh, there's something else I want to do. There's one more thing I can do. There's something so exquisite that it will be amazing. And then he creates us. Humanity, human being. He creates humans in his own image. It's like he saved the best for last. And so, again, it's interesting, of all the at least 8.7 million species on the planet, and they say there could be many more than that, maybe, but we're the only one, the only species that is described as having been created in the image and likeness of God. It's interesting, though, because it's almost like the story of creation and the significance couldn't be contained just in that first account. So when you go into Genesis chapter 2, it's like this, again, God dives into the story, and we read in chapter 2, and he adds some texture and colour and dynamic to how it came about, and And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And he uses here two really powerful images, dust and breath. Dust and breath. I don't know whether you realize this, but you're a hybrid. You're the intersection of two realities. You are dust and you are breath. You are dust. As a pastor for many, many years, I've conducted many, many funerals. That's not uncommon at the graveside or at some point at the committal in the service to say those words, from ashes to ashes and dust to dust, because we came from dust. Some little girl had heard the pastor preach one Sunday about we all come from dust and we all go back to dust, we'll return to dust. And during that week, she runs downstairs excitedly to her mother this day and says, Mom, you got to come and have a look. I was just under my bed and there's somebody either coming or going. You come from temporary created material dust, but you're also breath. Yuma, ruah. This is the Hebrew word, spirit. You come from eternal divine material. And both of those realities, those dynamics intersect in this moment, and God, like a masterful artist, designs the uniqueness of a human being. And I wonder then if that's why sometimes we're confused, because we're dust and we're breath. We're dust, we're temporary, we return to dust, but we're breath. We've got divine, eternal as well. We're temporary and we are eternal. You'd never admit it. You ever looked in the mirror at any point and gone, maybe when you're younger, gone, yeah, not bad. Have you ever walked along in front of a row of shots? I love Australian comedian Carl Barron. He talks about that, and he talks about, you know, how that people do that and stop and you pretend that you're looking at something in the window. But you're actually looking at yourself. You're looking at your own reflection. And it's funny. But sometimes, like, we have those moments where we think we're okay, and then we're going, gee, I hope so-and-so can see it, I hope the boss can see it, I hope so-and-so can see that, and I'm okay, I'm awesome, but I wonder if everybody else can see it. And one day we feel fine, we feel great, and then that's Monday, but then come Tuesday, and something happens, and you go, I'm nothing, I'm dirt, I'm worthless, I have no talent, no ability, blah, why is everybody better than me? And you feel as if you're eternally bipolar about yourself. And I wonder if it's because dust and breath sending conflicting messages into your soul. Yeah. You're not sure sometimes which one you are. And the danger, of course, is that when you're disconnected from God, all you're aware of is your dust. That's dangerous. Wow. And you're suffocating for breath without God. Suffocate for breath, for life. Then, of course, there's the odd person who's so super spirit, they're almost delusional, and all they think about is spirit and breath and try to ignore the dust. And no, we're both. We're both. Both are a part of who we are. You're the dust of the creation, and you're the breath of the Creator. You're both. What your soul is searching for is spirit, breath. What your soul is searching for is life, because you're both breath and dust interconnected together. And that's why I think sometimes we struggle with understanding who we are. You know, when you look at yourself in a mirror, you actually don't really see yourself. You actually see a reverse image of yourself. Interesting, yeah. See a reverse image of yourself. We don't actually see the real you, the real me. That's the dilemma with our identity. We rarely get through picture of ourselves. And let me say this, your identity is not formed in isolation. In fact, most babies, when they are born, I was talking with Jeremy and Anita, and just saying, like, I guess I went over the day before, just about, and I remember when Melody was very, very little, and when Tim was just a little baby. And I did say, did warn them, you keep feeding them, this would happen. They will die. but I would guess, I'll pick on Melody, she's used to being picked on. But my guess is that, like every other baby, when she first started to talk, which I understand was at about 2 weeks of age. Now, when Melody first started to talk, my guess is her first words weren't, me, Melody. First words, probably like most babies, are mum, 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 dad, 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 whatever. Because identity is formed in the context of relationship. Relationship. And as we journey through life, it develops in the context of the reflection of how others see you and relate to you. It's formed, as others maybe even tell you who you are, whether right or wrong. It's formed as others tell you who you're not. It's formed as your inner world decides almost which voice or voices have more power in defining you. And you can easily end up with this universe of voices inside telling you who you are and who you are not, and sometimes you're not sure which one to believe. For some people, your entire life journey, your entire emotional stability can be based on the fact that you keep searching for your identity in a mirror that doesn't really show who you are. But I want to tell you this morning, you're created in the image and likeness of God. That is your origin story. That is your origin story. That is where you began. And if your story only begins with your human, the human story, you lack the data to ever find your true identity. But when your story is rooted deeply back to the divine story, that you are created in God's image, that He designed you for Himself, that His essential nature is divine material, and consequently your essential nature is divine, then you can find your identity in the intention that He had for us. Warm my dust, you know, reminds me that on this planet, in this life, I have a first breath and a last breath in this world that I'm captured in time and space. My breath also reminds me that I am of eternal divine material. That I am timeless, that not even physical death can bring the end to my story. Hallelujah. And I think we sometimes underestimate the design of who we are. By the way, if we go back to that story in Genesis, it's really interesting, and many of you have been familiar with the fact that as the story rolls on, just a little bit very quickly into the story of creation and humanity's history, the devil comes, the serpent comes along, and in chapter 3, he comes into the garden, and he talks to Eve, and obviously then she talks to Adam, and they sin. But what does he say? He says this. He says, God knows that if you eat from this tree, you will become like Him. But here's the irony. they were already like him.
Yeah.
It's a lie. They were already like him. They were already created like God. The devil convinced them that their identity was not rooted in their creator. That God somehow had kept the secret of their identity from them and withheld it from them. And he said, the devil says, oh, if you eat from this tree, and if you separate yourself from God, and if you do this on your own and in your own strength, then you'll find your deepest, truest identity. You'll become like God. And that's the lie. Because as I said before, when we separate ourselves from God, we suffocate for life. Because we are created dust and breath. Life. Breath. Ruach. That's your ultimate intention. That's your identity. And your value cannot be found outside of the one who created you. And that snake has been lying ever since. Often comes as an inner voice to us and says, you don't matter, you have no value, you're not enough, you'll never be good enough, you'll never be worthy of love, blah, 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 blah. And here's the truth. So, here's a $10 note. I just printed it off this morning. Have you ever thought how good it would be if you could? Anyway, yeah. Apparently that's an offense, so I stopped doing it. But this is not entirely Chris brand new, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Who, I mean, if I were to offer this, who would like that? Anybody like $10? What if it was a $100 note?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody would be happy to take this. But then if I scrunch it up, it's all creased and crumpled and doesn't look quite so attractive now. Who would still like it?
Yeah.
What if I go outside and put it in the dirt and the mud and trample on it, and then who would still be happy to have it?
Yeah.
Why? Same value. Because here's the thing I want to say to you this morning. That you're created with an inherent value that never changes. And in the journey of life sometimes you get screwed up, sometimes you get stood on, sometimes stuff blows you, you know, you might have spent some time in the garden, whatever, but it doesn't matter. There's an inherent value within you that never changes because you're a God-created human. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your value is there, even though life may have done some stuff to you and people may have done some stuff to you. Still valuable.
Oh.
Bonnie. You know that one.
Yes.
And remember the story. Yeah. Our value is found in God.
Yeah.
And all those voices that sometimes tell us you find your identity in something else outside of God. Those voices will tell you that anything you can do will never be enough. You can never, and here's the truth, you can never do enough to be enough. Which is, by the way, part of the reason that why Jesus came. And again, one of the most amazing things about Jesus coming is that of all the species that he chose, 8.7 million species, why did he come to redeem us? And he came as a man. He came as a baby. He chose the human species. He came as a human. So this morning, if you struggling with your identity, wondering if you're enough, wondering if you matter, wondering, and sometimes all of us, sometimes we're frustrated because we seem to keep going back to the same brokenness and the same patterns, and we can't sometimes seem to shake free from the worst expression of us and these voices inside. Sometimes our own self-talk, we need to realize that who we really are. Oh, there's brokenness. We're dust, but we're divine material. The breath of God. You're a masterpiece. I mean, just look at somebody around you. Look at the person sitting beside you.
Awkward look.
You're looking at a masterpiece. Now I know some of you might, don't go there, some of you might think, yeah, it looks like a Picasso to me. because humans are so much more complex than we can ever imagine. I was just sitting there right at the beginning of the service this morning, and I thought, you know, for a man, and I think, oh man, we are so complex. Seriously. You try to unravel all the stuff that just goes on in your head. Oh my goodness. I mean, you know, people often say you should walk a mile in my shoes. Spend 30 seconds inside my head, that'll mess you up. See, the reason that Jesus stepped into human history was not to make you superhuman, but to make you human again. To restore you to God's intention for his creation, to restore you to his best for you. And he came and he made that possible, you know, through his sacrifice for humanity to again have a relationship with God and to have the breath of God within us. Because when we come and we surrender our lives to God and we open our hearts to him, he breathes his life into us. Breathes his life into us. And there's this phrase in the New Testament, and I'll finish with just these thoughts this morning, really specifically drill down on some things. This phrase, Christ in us, which is a profound concept that appears multiple times in the New Testament. It refers to this mystery, but this reality of the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ in the life of believers. It's not a metaphor. Not an illustration, but it's a deep truth about the transformative relationship of Christ and his followers. Listen, Romans 9-11. Chapter 8, verse 9-11. Listen to this. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives, you guess?
In you.
Those verses encapsulate this original thought that God intended for his presence to live in us. His breath, his life. He breathed life into us. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit, this signifies when we open our lives to him, God's presence through the indwelling presence of Jesus comes and brings us into an intimate relationship with him, and consequently we are connected to him and his life and his power. It's a funny thing, because when you go for a while without God, it's kind of like your phone, hey? It's got all this incredible capacity and ability and can do all these amazing things. How many of you ever run out of battery? It's really annoying, hey? Because you want that thing to keep working, you've got to keep getting power charged into it. And you and I are the same. Created with all this incredible ability, capacity. Far much more than we sometimes realize. So let me just, as I finish, give you five things that the indwelling presence of Christ does for us and means for us when we plug in, when we let him breathe fresh into us. One, he does, as I talked about particularly this morning, he reestablishes our identity. Gives those who believe in him
their identity in Christ and this assurance that nothing can separate us from him, Romans 8, 15, 16. You didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. That's believing. That's belonging, I can tell you. That's identity. By him we cry, Abba Father, the Spirit itself testifies with our spirit. We are God's children. We are God's children. Number one, he reestablishes identity. Number two, he undertakes this transformation of our inner being. New Testament is full. And even prophetically, the Old Testament talked about the coming of Jesus and he would write his laws upon our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know that God changes us from the inside out?
Yes.
From the inside out. We are transformed, and Corinthians tells us we gaze upon him as we're in relationship and connection with him. We are changed from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another, increasingly into what? The image of Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, thirdly, we're empowered to live. When he lives in us, he actually empowers us to live. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are not, when he dwells within us, when his breath is in us, we're not left to live life on our own or just in our own strength. Oh, we're dust. We're dust, we're impacted by the temporary, but there's more to us, hallelujah. And we have this supernatural power within us to overcome and to endure and to carry out his will, and this indwelling of Jesus, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, God's breath, gives us the strength to live victoriously. He gives us, fourthly, he gives us hope and assurance. Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. It's not, I hope, no. This is an absolute knowledge. This hope, this certainty, his breath within us assures us of salvation and eternal life. And finally, his indwelling presence. Thank you, John. His indwelling presence empowers us to become his representatives, to share his life and his love with others. You're no ordinary being. In spite of what you feel, in spite of the fact that you're dust, and sometimes the dust and our consciousness of dust, temporary, overpowers us. Never forget, you are hybrid. You're also created in the image of God. And when he breathes into your life, when he breathes into your heart, when you receive even afresh of that life. I was in just my motel room this morning before I came, and I just put on some worship music and stopped where I was packing, I got some stuff, and I just took a few minutes. I was just, wow. Presence of God. Presence of God. Does something for your soul. It's life. It's life. Sometimes we're just so conscious of the dust. I want in this moment, just as we close, just take a moment just to be still. Close your eyes, just right now, close your eyes. Right now, God wants to breathe his breath of life into you. You might be having a hard time in the dust. From time to time. But his life can empower you, energize you, sustain you. Let him breathe. In fact, I'm going to get you, why don't you just stand right now? Just stand. I want, if you feel comfortable, just to raise your hands a little,
lift them up to him, open your hands and your heart, and just say, God, breathe in me now. Breathe in me now. Breathe in me now. And God, I pray you see every hand and every heart, you know, every story. I pray just in this closing moment, you come and breathe fresh into hearts and lives. For those who've been overpowered by the realities of the dust, God, I pray this morning that there would come a fresh realization of the divine breath of life. Your presence. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and even quickens the dust. Oh God. Just every hand down for a moment, if you would, just while every eye's still closed. I always give this opportunity. Many of you I don't know. If you're here and you've never really consciously made a decision to let Jesus into your life and to let the breath of God come into your life, or maybe you have, but you haven't let him breathe into you for some time, like the phone that's gone flat and run out of charge. And if for the first time you need to say, I need God. Or you just need to reconnect and let him breathe again into you. You just raise your hand just where you are. Anybody this morning, either for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands, yeah. Anybody else this morning, very thank you. So yeah, thank you, thank you. God, I pray right now for each of those hands raised. You know those lives, whether it be for the first time or whether it be to reconnect. Pray right now, I release your divine life and anointing and breath and life into those lives and hearts today in Jesus' name. God, as we go from here today, I pray that we would go with just a renewed sense of, yeah, it's okay, we are dust, we are temporary, we deal with temporal things, but we are unique. We're a divine masterpiece. We have the breath of life in us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
We thank Pastor Gary this morning. I'm glad you've been blessed this morning. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God's powerful. And as I said right at the start of the service, my heart was that you would leave this place encouraged, better than when you walked in. So I believe that the Holy Spirit has met with us today and that he's touched your life and that you've been transformed by the word that was preached, the presence that's here. God's good, amen?
Amen.
If you want to be a blessing to Pastor Gary, we always love to honor our guests with a love gift. You can do that in a few ways. You can give online and just make sure you put the reference Gary or love gift, and we'll make sure that gets to Gary. You can also give in person using our box right on an envelope. Envelopes are there. Just make sure you write love gift or Gary. We'll make sure that gets to him because we want to be a blessing. Amen. Who's been fed today and enjoyed the word? Come on, give God praise. He's good. He's goodness in our lives. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to bring the service to a close, have some fellowship around morning tea. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that's met with us today, that you'll lead us and guide us this week, be in our hearts and be in our homes. May your presence make us feel rich, Lord God, because you provide an over and abundance for everything that we need. Help us with our decisions, lead us and guide us, protect us until we meet again. In this place, in Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, have a fantastic Sunday. It is a beautiful day. There is no wind. It is exceptional. So praise God for that. And we'll see you Father's Day next Sunday. Make sure you bring the dads. Be blessed. Amen.
Thank you.